Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, God is real. Thank the Lord this morning. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know what we would do. Can't imagine, don't want to even think about it. Sometimes you might let your mind wander a little bit, but don't let it wander too long, because you just recognize if it wasn't for him, you'd be in bad shape. I think back on my life and think if I hadn't given my heart and life to God when I did, I don't want to know where I would be. But I'm thankful that he did in his love and in his mercy. I'm grateful for that, and I'm thankful, and it's a blessing. What a privilege it is to be able to serve a great God that is real. A God that is real. I'm so thankful that we pray to a God that is available. We were talking about this yesterday at the rest home. He's available to all of us at all times. Isn't that wonderful? That it doesn't matter. I could be over here. You could be over there. We can be on one coast, on another coast. We can be in another country, on another continent, wherever it may be. And we can call on the Lord. We all can call on him at the same time. And he's a God that is real. And he works. And he's worthy, as a sister said, to be praised this morning. He's been faithful. He's a faithful God. He's been good to us. He's been good to me. Been good to me this week. I appreciate God's faithfulness. I desire your prayers. I believe the thought that the Lord had for share. One of the requests that he answered, looking to the Lord. Lord, what would you have for your saint? What do you want me to bring forth? And it just like the days kept on ticking, seemed like. But God is faithful. And he provided, and I believe, what he would have for us this morning. So I desire your prayers, depending on him, yet one more time as we endeavor to minister the word of God this morning.
Amen.
I'm going to talk about soul rest this morning. And I'm going to begin with just a few questions. And the first question is, are you experiencing soul rest today? You know, that's a question that we each have to answer for our own self. I can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. So that we all have to look inside and acknowledge within ourselves, am I really experiencing soul rest today? So then the second question, if you're not, then why not? Why not? Why aren't you experiencing soul rest? There's some more questions. Has it never been offered to you? Or maybe it was offered to you, but you rejected it. Or maybe there was a time in your life where you did experience soul rest, and now you're not. The question would be, what happened? Was that God's desire? Was that his plan for you to experience soul rest and then for it to be gone? So those are some questions as we think about by the help of the Lord, as we share the thought this morning, think about those things. And now for those that are endeavoring to live for him. Do you remember, or let me ask it in this way. You remember that feeling that you felt when you bowed at an altar of prayer and you surrendered your life to God? You asked God to forgive you of your sins. Ask him, Lord, please forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And please come into my heart and live within me. You remember that feeling? How long is that supposed to last? Do you still feel that way? Is that something that's just supposed to be temporary while you at an altar of prayer and then it lasts for just a few days and then it goes away? Is that what God's intent is for us? No, that's not this. That's not something that he desires to just last for a period of time. That's something that he desires to remain with us as we go through our life. Rest. Rest is defined as peace of mind or spirit. And if you allow me this morning, when you think about that word rest, and you think about peace, think about those words being able to be used interchangeably. Rest and peace. And soul rest means it's genuine and it's true and it's from God. And that's something that God desires for all of us to experience, that that have a relationship with Him. I'm going to turn to a very familiar text of Scripture in the 11th chapter of Matthew. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Come unto me.
Come unto me.
All ye that labor.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden.
And I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you.
Take my yoke upon you.
And learn of me.
For I am meek and lowly in heart,
and ye shall find rest unto
your souls. Verse 30, please.
For my yoke is easy.
For my yoke is easy,
and my burden is light.
And my burden is light. As we read through these verses this morning, we start there at the 28th verse. I notice there's several words within that verse that really stick out in my mind. The whole passage is a blessing and an encouragement to everyone. But it says here, come unto me all. That does not leave anyone out. That means everybody has the privilege to be able to come unto Almighty God. He said all. It's extended to everybody. It goes back to that privilege that each and every one of us has to be able to call upon God. It didn't say you have to meet a certain, you have to be a certain age. Does it say? It says all. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to be from a certain background. You don't have to be from a certain family. You don't have to know somebody that knows somebody. It says all. Come unto me all. All ye. Well, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All right. That speaks for itself. But in the one other word that I take note of here, it says, I might, I possibly, I will give you rest. And if you look into your Bible, you notice that these were Jesus' words, so he was speaking this. Talking about coming unto him, the Father, the talk about there's a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He was here on the earth on behalf of his Father. So he made it known that if you come unto me, that I will give you rest. So his intent for all of us is to be able to experience soul rest. And if we think about it, if something's changed since we bowed at an altar of prayer and gave our heart to God, if our rest status has changed, is that because of him or is that because of me? So when we look inward and start to answer some of those questions, we have to recognize that God said, if I come, he'll give me rest. And it's his desire that that rest is something that is maintained. So I realize that I have to continue to come to him. He said in the second verse, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And this was the word in that third, in the 29th verse. And it says, Ye shall find rest for your souls. That leaves no doubt. There's an assurance that we have in this promise that God has given us in his word. ye shall find rest for your soul. So we can have soul rest as we go through this life. Oh, when we think about life, when we think about the world that we live in, are there things going on maybe that you think would, and remember, we talk about rest and peace interchangeably this morning. Are there any things going on in our world today that could maybe disturb your peace or your rest? Or maybe everything is just so wonderful, everything is going great, there's no turmoil or anything. Not in this world. Not in this world. I mean, you can read news story after news story of all the troubles and things that's going on in our world today. Oh, but I'm so thankful that God promised us that we can find rest to our souls. And he said in the 30th verse, for my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that mean? Is that my yoke is easy? How can a yoke be easy? Well, think about it. He said it was so now. He said, my yoke, is it really, can it really, how is that possible for a yoke to be easy? Because we're talking about having God on our side. All right, the brother made mention of it already, talking about he's never, we're fighting, we sung the song about being enlisted in the army of the Lord. We're in the army of the Lord as long as we have God with us. What do we have to, how much work do we really have to do? Huh? If we're relying on God like he desires us to do, how much work do we really have to do? The hardest thing that we got to do is say, Lord, I give it to you. That's why his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Because he takes all the work. Because you know what? This is the not so secret news. I'm just letting you know this morning. If you didn't know already, all right? As long as you have life and breath, guess what? I can guarantee you there's going to be some trouble. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be situations and circumstances of life that's going to be contrary to what we desire. And there can be things that come along that can take our endeavor to take our rest and to take our peace. Oh, but he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said, we shall find rest for our souls. This is one writer said about that verb, talk about them being meek and lowly and hard in finding rest. Said, wherever pride and anger dwells, there is nothing but mental labor and agony. But where peace and humility of God dwells, all is smooth, even peaceable. Even in the midst of maybe things going on around us that are completely contrary to what we desire. It's because God can provide some rest to us that is only available because of the relationship that we have with him. When you get acquainted with God, rest comes along with it. Give a quick analogy here. How many times have you, maybe this has never happened to you. You ever woken up from sleeping, whether maybe it was at night or maybe you took a little snooze, took a little nap during the day, and you woke up and you didn't feel very rested? And maybe even there was a time or two where you took a little nap and you woke up and you felt worse than you did before you laid down. Is that enjoyable? It's like, oh, I need a nap from the nap now because I don't feel like the nap did me anything. I need another nap to make up for the nap. So that happens, right? We all acknowledge. I see some chuckles and laughs, so I'm not the only one that's happened to. Aren't you so thankful that when you get close to God, and when you come to God, when you bring things to God, that when you leave there, you can leave feeling better? Isn't that wonderful? There was no time when you bring things to God, unless you pick them up with you when you go, that you don't go away feeling better. There has to be some rest that you feel, some soul rest. When you take your burdens, when you take your trials, when you take your troubles, when you take things that are going on in your life and you give them to God, He can give you some rest to your soul. You don't walk away from an encounter with God feeling worse unless you didn't give it to Him. If you pick it up and take it with you, then that's... Is that on Him? Is that His responsibility? Oh, Lord, I gave it to you. And then He's trying to tell you, yeah, you gave it to me, but then you picked it up right on with you when you left. What's the point? God will do His part. He will supply us with what we need as long as we follow His instructions. If we follow His instruction, then the benefits that He has offered to us are available. Yeah. If we deviate from them, how can we blame that on God? Right. Sometimes people like to do that, don't they? They don't do what He said to do, and then they're going to blame God for it. If you do what He said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Amen. If you do that, if you take up His yoke, if you remain meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest for your soul. If you take up His yoke, you'll find that His yoke is easy, yes, and His burden is light. Yes. In another place, we're instructed what we should do with our burdens. Let's go to the 55th Psalm and look at the 22nd verse. Psalm 55, verse 22.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord.
Cast thy burden upon the Lord.
And He shall sustain thee.
He shall sustain thee.
He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
All right. There's some instruction for us now. Cast your burden on the Lord. And then there's some of these words again that's coming out. He shall sustain you. All right. So then what are my burdens? Cares and trials and afflictions and things that we have to go through from time to time, the instruction is to cast them on the Lord. Cast them on Him, and He'll strengthen us. He'll uphold us. He'll uplift us. He'll give us what we need to be able to go through whatever we have to go through in this life. In Sunday school, we're talking about this morning about in our weakness, that's where our strength comes from, right? In acknowledging that I can't handle this my own self. And even if we feel like we can, why? We heard a testimony this morning about what God done. He even cares about your refrigerator? Yes. Amen. Thank the Lord. I can pray to God about my... Yes, you can. Amen. He cares. Why not? Right. He told us to cast. Yes. So let's do it. Yes. Why would we not? He said He'll sustain us, and He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. So then I got to endeavor by His grace to live righteous and holy before Him. Don't you know that even small burdens that you carry unnecessarily, they can have an influence on you? You might think it's okay. Oh, I'm fine. This is just a little small something. It's not too bad. I can take care of this one. I can haul this one around. But what you're not understanding is it is taking a toll on you, whether you realize it or not. We have a little baby in our midst this morning. And I was a baby 6 to 9 months old, weigh about 15 to 20 pounds. I don't know how much Lily weighs. It doesn't matter. But the point is, even a child, what you can hold a child, if you hold a child in the same position for a long period of time, do you get a little tired? A little child? A little 15 to 20 pound child? Yes. It has just that little child, it affects. What do you have to do? Especially if they sleep. Well, what do? You adjust to the other side. Or let me rotate to this side. Or let me flip over to this side. Or you say, here, mama, here, daddy. Here's a child back. So eat just something that just a little child. Yes, it affects you. So now think about that spiritually. Just something small that you're carrying around. And I know that we enjoy doing that with babies, right? But why would we carry things unnecessarily? We want some soul rest? Give it to God. Why? You know, the scripture we just read talked about, cast thy burden upon the Lord. I remember growing up, I haven't done too much of this, but we used to go fishing from time to time. And we get our fishing rod, and you cast, right? And when you cast, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm the only one. But when I was casting my fishing rod, I was trying to cast that thing as far as I could. I wasn't trying to just, you know, you do all that. Sometimes you wind up and get all ready and put your finger on there and you wet and it go plop. Yeah, let me do that one again. But the point was, I was trying to cast that bait as far out in the lake as I could. Why don't we do that with our burdens? Why are we going to just, Lord, I'm going to just lay it down right here. So it's the problem is, you lay it down that close, that's how much easier it is for you to pick it right back up. If you cast it on the Lord, get it away as far as you, from yourself as you can, then let God have it. And then it's harder, then you almost have to go and try to find it. That isn't that the good thing? He told us to cast them on him. So let's do it. Little small things that we carry along, sometimes they have an effect. So you know what? As we go through this life, maybe we start to recognize that, you know what? I've been carrying some things around unnecessarily. I've been carrying some burdens, some trials, life is going to happen to all of us. Yes. Whether we're saved, whether you have a relationship, whether you're saved or not saved, things going to happen. But if you recognize, you look at your life and maybe say, I haven't taken advantage. I'm carrying things around that I don't need to carry. Yes. You know what? In things that we carry around with us, sometimes these things, they always work right. All the time, never have any flaws, never problems. What do you do when your phone is acting up? Do a restart, don't you? All of us use computers. Well, you know, one of the first things that we call our IT department at work, and I'm having problems with our computer. What they say? Did you restart it? All right, we do these things naturally. Let's hit the reset button. Why do I have to keep carrying these things around, bearing myself down with these things unnecessarily? God wants soul rest for me. I don't have to. So I recognize, you know what? I'm carrying things around that I don't need to carry. I need to hit the get find an altar somewhere. Get and say, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to cast this to you. Help me, Lord, to give it to you. And help me, Lord, to leave it with you and not try to pick it up when I get up and leave. Just have a little talk with Jesus. The song said, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. He will hear our faintest cry and he will answer by and by. When you feel the prayer wheel turning, know the fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus and it makes it right. It makes it right. Thank the Lord we can go to God and we can acknowledge, Lord, I haven't been taking full advantage and I want you to help me now. I don't want to carry these things. I want some rest to my soul. You know, we made mention of this peace, and in one of the verses it talks about, we read it about the righteous. He said he will not, what was it, the righteous? He'll not never suffer the righteous to be moved. All right? Let's go to Isaiah 32 and 17.
And the work of righteousness shall be peace.
The work of righteousness shall be peace.
And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever.
And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forevermore. So we talked about this peace and the righteousness working together. So if we take a note of this particular verse, it says the work of righteousness. What is work? You mean I have to put forth an effort? Yes. We have to put forth an effort to endeavor to be righteous. Work is defined as you got to exert yourself. You got to put forth an effort, whether that's physically or mentally, whatever it is. And it's not just putting forth an effort. It's something that has to be sustained. It's a sustained effort that you have for a specific purpose. So we endeavor to work by the help and by the grace of God to be righteous. The work of righteousness, it says, shall be peace. Peace and rest working together, right? So we endeavor to live righteous and holy before God. Peace is a benefit of it. They work together. And then it says the effect of righteousness. What is effect? It means the result. It's the outcome. So I'm putting forth the work. I'm putting forth the effort for a sustained period of time. And then endeavoring to live a righteous and a holy life before God. And then the result, the outcome of that is quietness and assurance forevermore. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God desires for us. Amen. Thank the Lord. One other thought as it relates to that feeling. That feeling when we first gave our heart to God. You know, in relationships and in marriage in particular, they have something that they call the honeymoon phase. And according to whoever does this research, I don't know who it was, it says that lasts from 6 months to 2 years. And there's actually some science behind it. It relates to there's chemicals and things in your body that react in a certain way. Is there a honeymoon phase in your relationship with God? Is that what his plan is? Does he desire us to everything for 6 months to 2 years? And then what keeps, you know what? You can look around. Some of these folks have been married for longer than 2 years. What does it take? It takes some work, doesn't it? Huh? It takes work. just the same way it requires a work on a daily daily effort in order to maintain. And you know what? It's supposed to get better. Huh? Right? Isn't that? The more you know somebody, it should get better, shouldn't it? I thought the honeymoon phase was when you don't know nothing. You really don't really know somebody. I'm just saying. It's the truth now. You really don't. But now you're talking 20, 25 years. Now you really know them now. Oh, but it gets better because the love that's what it's supposed to be. It should be. If you put the work in, God has to be the center of it now. But it's all now that work of righteousness. See, we endeavor to live and please God on a daily basis. So when we put in the work, that relationship with God gonna get sweeter. The song, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, the more love that He bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. That's what His intent is. That soul rest is supposed to get better. Because then I realize and I recognize I don't have to carry anything. I can just give it all to God. Praise the Lord. There's a familiar verse in the 10th chapter of John. Y'all know this. This is what God's desire and plan is for His creation. In John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse.
The thief cometh not.
The thief cometh not.
But for to steal.
And to kill. And to destroy.
I am come.
That they might have life.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
That's what God's desire is for us. And when we give everything to Him and have that soul rest, that we can have the abundant life that He desires each and every one of us to have. That's what His purpose and plan is for us. I want to make note of a few verses of song that we sing from time to time. One of them is number 67. It talks about sweet rest in Jesus. And one of the verses says, in Jesus I found sweet rest from sorrow, from toil, and from care. In Him I am happy and blessed, for He all my burdens doth bear. That's the sweet rest, the soul rest that God desires for each and every one of us. So you can kind of replace that sweet rest. You can say soul rest. That soul rest, all my sorrows and my troubles and my toils. Do we have to pick one? Aren't you so thankful we can just give them all? He didn't just say, all right, you can bring your care, but you can't bring your sorrow. You can bring your toils, but you can't. He said all of them. Aren't you glad that we don't have to pick? We can just tick them all up and say, Lord, can you just take these? We can give them all of our burdens. And then the verse says, why did we come anyways? Right? The songwriter said, I came to the Lord for release. When burdened with guilt and with sin, and then He cleansed me and gave me His peace, that His Spirit to witness within. That's the whole reason why we came to Him, is to get some relief. So we give it to Him. We release our burdens. Isn't that, where else can you get something like that? Bring your trouble, your trials, your cares, your disappointments, your heartaches. You fill in the blank. You bring that to God. All right. And then in exchange, he'll give you some peace and rest. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Why wouldn't I do it? Where do I need to go? That's where we, I want the soul rest. We just have to do it. And then there's another song in the chorus. It says, song number 75, talking about sweetly resting. It says, now. See, when we do those things, when we put all this, what he's instructed us to do, we put that into practice, this is what we get. Remember that verse that talked about the work of righteousness and what it yields, quietness and so on, right? And assurance. And it says, now I'm resting, sweetly resting in that cleft once made for me. Isn't that wonderful? God has a cleft for each and every one of us. But you know what? You can't get into the cleft if you didn't give him, you know, if you allow me to use my mind here to expand on this a little bit, I would imagine that little cleft that he has for us is just for us. We can't bring stuff in the cleft with us. Right? So if we got stuff we're trying to drag in, Lord, I'm trying to get to that cleft that you have made for me so I can rest sweetly. He's saying, no, you're trying to bring some stuff in here that you don't belong. So if I want to get into that cleft that he made for me, I got to leave all the other stuff out. You could say it, the simplest way to say it, saints, is don't live beneath your privilege. Yes. Don't live beneath the privilege that you have. You know, do you neglect freedoms that you have in our world? All of us, most folks that have jobs or have work jobs, don't you get a lunch break? Why? I don't need to eat. I do. Amen. Do you just say, oh, no, it's okay? Do you tell them, no, it's all right. I'll just work through. I'll work. You don't have to feed me. I don't have to have a break to eat. I'll just keep on working. Why? This is part of, you know, there's certain laws that are in place where they can't take advantage of you. Right? You take advantage of those things. You don't give them back. Then they come and tell you, you know what, I'll give you 2-3 weeks of vacation. Do you say, nah, you can keep them. I'll just work all year long. Right? It's a benefit of it, right? Why would you give that back to them? So why do we do it with God? Why do we not take advantage of everything that he's offered us? You know, there's full soul rest that's coming to us. Well, let me say one more thing as it relates to this soul rest that God has for us. You know what happens when that's missing? When that's missing in our relationship, if we don't have the soul rest that God desires each and every one of us to have, it has a effect on our relationship with him. And you know what it does? We're not able to serve the Lord like the song said and like the verse in Psalm, the 100th Psalm in the second verse. It talks about serving the Lord with gladness and coming for his presence with singing. So what happens is when we don't have that soul rest, it has an effect on how we represent ourselves in our relationship with God. And we're not serving him in the way that he desired to serve us. And different things are affecting us in different ways. And then folks might look on, they're supposed to be saved. People love to see. You don't give the devil an excuse. He got enough excuses. When we have the soul rest that God desires for us to have, then we can serve him with gladness. And what happens is, when we don't do that, then we're living beneath the privilege that God has for us. Now, that complete, full soul rest is coming. One of these days, it's coming. I know folks have been talking about it for years, but it's going to happen. He said it would, so I believe it. Yeah. We're going to have our complete soul rest when we don't have to deal with any of these things that we have to deal with in this life. Amen. Now, am I just saying that? Well, you can go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 9th verse. It'll give you a little encouragement. Hebrews 4:9, what does it say?
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So that complete rest, we'll have our home of rest is going to be our eternal heavenly home. God has, and he's talked about, he's preparing that place. That's when we'll have complete rest from all the trouble and toil and cares of this life when we get to our eternal home. But you know what? In order to get there, we got to live in this life first. We have to live victorious in this life by his grace and strength and help. Then we can get there. So we're going to ask a few questions again. Are you experiencing soul rest today? Why not? And if you're not, what are you going to do about it? I appreciate your time and your attention.